Now today we come to the third in a series of messages, How God Saves Sinners. Our biblical text is Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. If you have your Bible, please turn to that passage and be ready to study together. And now let's bow for prayer. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, we bow here today together in worship to give you thanks and praise for such a great salvation, for such a glorious God and Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit, for the Word of God, bringing us a salvation that is full of grace and mercy. We pray now as we study your word that we may be given enablement by the Holy Spirit to understand, that we may be empowered to proclaim truth and not compromise, and that you will give us spiritual eyes and spiritual ears and a spiritual heart to respond to your word today. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In beginning the series, How God Saves Sinners, we considered, first of all, the fact of salvation, that it is real, salvation is real. Then we considered the salvation transaction, that it is by divine origin, by divine election, by divine initiation, by divine energy, and it becomes a personal experience. In the second message, we considered the precise action of God in salvation. That is, it is regeneration. It is conversion. It is reconciliation. It is justification. And now today, in this third message, we come to the actual work of God in the sinner's life. Now, let's review the text we've been looking at, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Paul writing to the Christians in Ephesus, "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should live in them." This then is the text, and we're considering the truth, really beginning at verse 4. Several times we have looked at verses 1 to 3, which basically declares that our condition was this. We were spiritually dead. We did not have life toward God. We could not understand the Scripture. We did not want God. And so we were spiritually dead. Now in verse 4, we read two of the most important words we will ever think about. Two short words, but God. Now that changes everything. We were in a condition of spiritual death. We would have remained in that condition throughout our life and on into eternity. But God. God changed that for us. And the Apostle Paul explains who God is in regard to this. Who is this God? He is rich in mercy. He's full of riches, merciful riches. His compassion is full and complete toward us. Not only fullness of mercy, but of his great love with which he loved us. Probably we cannot comprehend that in this lifetime, but it's here. And it's for us to read and to believe and to be thankful for. Dwell very much on verse 4. Memorize verse 4. Say it over and over again. Believe it in your heart. This is life-changing. We were dead in sin, but God stepped in. God brought about the change. This is the work of God in salvation. But God came and did something for us, did something to us, and did something through us. Verse 6. Well, we're still in verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, what did he do? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Here is the transition from death to life. You who were dead in sin, even while we were dead in sin, God made us alive. Now this means that there was a work outside of us by someone who changed us from death to life. And of course that is our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, working on us, to us, and through us, even when we were dead. We did not have anything to offer. We could not make a decision. We could not have the desire, and we were unable to climb out of that horrible pit and out of the miry clay of spiritual death. But God made us alive, that is, took an action, did something through regeneration to bring us from death to life. Even when we were dead, he did this. And he did not wait for us to make a decision or to do anything of good works. He did it when we were still dead. And the term made us alive means resurrection. From the grave to life, from death to life, we are resurrected people. Who are Christians? Who is a Christian? A Christian is a person who is resurrected from spiritual death to spiritual life. And that life means we now love the Lord. We now respond to His Word. We now worship Him. We now submit to Him. He is our salvation, and He is our authority. He is our life, and we serve Him. God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 8. The gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Here is the gift of God. What is it? It's the salvation bestowed upon us by grace, without any merit on our part, without deserving any favor from God. God, out of His own mercy and love, bestowed upon us the gift of salvation. For by grace you have been saved. You have been saved. It is finished. It is done. It has already been accomplished. For by grace, apart from deserving, you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now there is controversy about the interpretation of this passage and what is the gift and so on. And some would say that salvation is the gift, but the faith comes from us. It is our faith. I don't think you can prove that. And certainly the text would lead us by common sense to say, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. It is not something we have naturally because we're dead spiritually. It is not a part of our sin nature to have faith. We cannot work it up. We cannot bring ourselves to believe. It has to be by a gift from God, apart from self, apart from good works. Know this, believe this, faith is the gift of God. And when Adam sinned and received a sin nature, and we receive that sin nature, we do not have the capacity for faith. And here's the argument. Some would say, yes, we have a sin nature, but we're not so bad off that we cannot exercise our free will and commit faith toward Christ. The other side would say, including me, no, we're dead in sin, and we are incapable of making that decision, and someone has to help us. So God comes in by grace. Through faith, you have been saved. Faith is the gift of God. And so here is the work of God in salvation, the work of God in the sinner's life. And then, of course, now we Christians respond. There comes a time after we have been regenerated, after we have been made alive and brought from death to life and have spiritual life, God opens our eyes. God opens our heart of understanding. God gives us the gift of faith, and we willingly, lovingly, humbly, thankfully say, yes, I believe in Christ. I accept Him as my Savior, as my authority. I bow to worship Him. Yes, I do. And so do you. And it's because that is a response to what God has already done. Our faith does not initiate salvation. God initiates salvation by His own divine energy and work in us, and brings about a response. Why do we believe? Why do we have faith? Because God caused it. Because God has given us the gift of faith. It is a gift. What a wonderful gift that now a sinner has the privilege of now trusting in the Lord God Almighty, trusting in the sacrifice He has provided for our salvation, trusting Him with our life. Faith is the gift of God. And today, as we consider the truth of this passage and the work of God in the sinner's life, we respond with faith and thanksgiving for such a wonderful gift. Our primary response at this moment is appreciation and gratitude for the grace of God, the gift of faith, the bestowment of salvation upon us. And this is not just a flimsy kind of thank you. This is a thank you. This is an appreciation. This is a gratitude that reaches down into the depths of our being. And this is our life. This is not something we do 5 minutes in the morning or an hour on Sunday morning. This is our life. We live in appreciation and gratitude, in thankfulness to the Lord, to God our Father, to our Lord Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit who has applied this salvation to our life and who has sprinkled the blood, the spiritual blood of the Lamb, into our being, so that we are covered by the blood and our sin is forgiven and we have eternal life. May God grant today that our thanksgiving will be real and permanent toward Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for this truth of how God saves sinners, and how You did that for us. And apart from that, we are condemned, and we are headed for an eternal hell. Thank You for verse 4 of Ephesians 2. But God, You stepped in, Lord. You came to us and bestowed this salvation upon us. Thank You and praise You in Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.